Welcome to the Andy George Leadership Podcast. This is a podcast that is geared toward having conversations around life, ministry, and culture. I want to thank you so much for joining me on this episode. And before we jump into the content, if you haven't done so yet, please make sure you subscribe to this podcast and share it. So listen, what happens when somebody knows your name? What happens when you walk into a place like a coffee shop or a restaurant or a store and they call you by name, they know your order? How does that make you feel? You know, I find that most people ultimately want to feel known, needed, and inspired and moved. So I want you to join me in a conversation I had recently with two of my assistants here on our podcast with Tyler and Jamie as we explore what happens when we talk about what does it truly mean to have people join us at the table and have conversations around what does it mean to be known, needed, and moved. I'm sure this is going to help you in whatever field you're in. And so here we go. Right now, let's jump into my podcast with Jamie and Tyler.
All right. So I want to start with a story, something that happened to me earlier this week that got me thinking about a topic I want to talk about. In fact, it's on the title of this podcast. We're recording a podcast. That's why I keep calling it a podcast, even though we're Facebook Live. And the title is Join Me at the Table, which, by the way, is a new sermon series. And I think we have a graphic for that. We have a new sermon series starting up this Sunday called Join Me at the Table. Yeah. Very excited to talk through this. And this Sunday, I'm speaking on the only miracle outside of the resurrection that is recorded in all four Gospels, which is the feeding of the 5,000. Mm. Super excited to speak on this. But it got me thinking about this whole thing, because the whole feeling of this whole sermon series is about community.
Yeah.
It's about community. It's about literally having people at your table, and it's community. And what does the table represent? You know, the table represents, I mean, even around this table, it represents community and family. Sometimes it represents hardship. Sometimes it represents tears and laughter and joy and all, everything in between, right? That's around a table, especially with the holidays coming. Yeah. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up. People usually sit around some sort of table with family and hopefully it's a good experience, but you know, sometimes it's not. And you got Christmas and then just your everyday natural life of table. So anyways, don't want to get too much into that, but that's coming this Sunday. But it got me thinking about community. Earlier this week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I changed up my routine and I went to a coffee shop before I came into the office in the morning. And I used to do that pretty often. I used to drive from where I live to our Millbrook campus. And I'd get here early because I would drop Kennedy off at school and get to this area early. So I would go to a coffee place close by the church. And after going there a little bit, people start to know you. They know your name. They know what drink you get. They know a little bit about you. You start to know about them. This is like a little community. And you start to recognize the same people that are there at the same time as you. And you start to hear their story. And well, I got away from doing that just for different scheduling reasons. And it's been probably, I would say it's been at least 6 months, if not longer, that I've been to this particular coffee shop in the morning. Now I'll go through there during the day, drive through, whatever, but not in the morning when the crew was there, right? When the crew was there. So I'm thinking, I'm not going to know anybody. I'm just going to go in, go to the corner because there's a lot of turnover at these kind of places. And so I walk in, and as soon as I walk in the door, like I push the door open. Before I could put my head up, I hear my name being said from behind the counter.
Wow.
Hey, Andy, how you doing? And then three other of the baristas were like, Andy, how's it going? Hey, are you still getting the flat white drink? And blah, blah, blah. How's the church going? How you doing? How's Parker doing in school? I'm like, what in the world? I'm like,
man.
I was blown. I was honestly blown away by that.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Blown away. Because I'm thinking, one, I'm not sure that they know me now. I mean, it's been forever that they've been in there. So I stood there and I talked. We talked about the church. In fact, one of them is going to be checking out our Wake Forest campus. So hopefully you're watching this and you'll actually go to church this Sunday. And we're talking about the church, what we're doing, thoughts about the kids and Kennedy and Parker and school. And, you know, one of them, their last day is this week. And so they're moving on to something else. And so you just start to get to know each other and hear each other and talk to each other. And then even after I sat down, you know, when my drink was ready, they called my name and they brought it out to me and they talked to me again. And it got me thinking of how that made me feel.
Yeah.
Just that somebody knew my name. They knew my drink order and they took the time to want to talk to me.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's pretty special. It's pretty powerful.
They remembered you after.
They remember me after a long time. Yeah.
That's what
I said. I think it was probably longer than that. Man. Now, it does probably speak to the problem I have with coffee and going and going. And I get the same thing all the time. So I don't ever like change it up or anything. But
this is true.
So it probably speaks to a little bit of problem. But it got me thinking about this here, this conversation today. And how important it is in life for somebody to know your name and for you to know people's name, not just, hey, man, hey, pal, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, how you doing? Although I'm sure we can't know everybody's name.
Mm-hmm.
But just to know the people that you're associate with. And I just think, what would happen if, because everybody has rhythms and routines. You know, everybody does stuff throughout the week. And a lot of people have habits that they do and routines that they do. And so just knowing where you go to know your waiter's name or your waitress's name, to know the person at the bank, to know the person at the grocery store, at a coffee place, and you interact with them at a name level, that's pretty powerful. Yeah. And a lot of them wear name tags. So even if you don't know their name, you can still call them by name.
Mm.
Like, hey, champ, I'll have a flat white. No, it's like, you know, hey, Sue.
Ooh, that's a good life hack right there.
That's a good life hack right there, right? It's good to do. But it got me thinking of three areas I want to talk about. And you guys feel free to jump in. If you're watching online on Facebook, I'd love to know your response to that too, of how does it make you feel when somebody knows you and knows your name? All right, so there's three words that I want to share. And just real quick, this is not going to be real long. And the three words are known, needed, and moved.
Mm.
Known, needed, and moved. Like those three words, I think when you think about our setting of a church, so we're in a church setting. So those watching, you may or may not know. So I'm a pastor, senior pastor here. Tyler's our worship pastor. Jamie's my assistant. And so as we work in church world, we're constantly dealing with people. We're always dealing with people, constantly. And I think there was a study that came out not that long ago that talked about why people attend a church. Like, why would they go to a church? Mm. The number one reason was not the sermon. It just wasn't. It didn't make me feel bad, but it's not the sermon. It's not worship. It's not the number one reason. It's not even the number two reason. The number one reason why people go to a church are those three things, because they feel known, they feel needed, and they feel inspired. Mood, they use the word mood, but it's inspired. That's why people go to a church.
Yeah.
And I think about how many times maybe we try to do programs and attract people because of programs, or we think this killer sermon or this worship set, although those are all important, and we want to do our very best and excellence in all those things. But I wonder how much more people would be attracted if they really felt known, needed, and inspired to move.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's really true and really good. And it speaks to one of the things that I think you and David and our staff team have made really kind of instilled in our team here, is the importance of when people email you or call you or you meet somebody and they want to get connected, the importance of following up with them immediately. I mean, I've met with six people, I think, in the last 3 weeks who are just kind of are new to the church. They've been through Starting Point. And yeah, I think the first thing they want to know is, is there an opportunity for me to be known? Like, can I get connected with people? And where do you need me? You know, so yeah, I've kind of really seen that played out in the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's a reality. And you deal with people all the time. You're constantly talking to people all the time. And
yeah, it's your favorite.
It's your favorite.
It is. That's the best part of the job.
It is. And it's a good thing of that feeling of of being that way.
Yeah.
So then I think the question that comes down to, I guess as a pastor, I want to say this, because people are watching may or may not be pastors. It's a two-way street. And I think that's where a lot of times a lot of the angst is. Two-way street, meaning that it's up to me as a pastor and us as a staff and our church staff to make people feel known, needed, and moved and inspired. But it's also up to the people walking through the doors to be a little proactive on their end too.
Mm.
Meaning, for example, if you come to our church and all you do is walk in, have a seat, and leave, and you say you don't feel connected, is that our problem or your problem or a mixture of both? And I think it's one of the frustrating things. Honestly, it's one of the frustrating things that we deal with constantly is, for example, somebody will be in the hospital and they'll never let anybody know, but then they're upset because nobody came and saw them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I get it because you're doing life, and I'm not blaming it and I'm not saying it in a bad way. This is just after being in 25 years of full-time ministry. You just see this happening, and it breaks your heart because you want people to get connected. And so I would suggest this: if you're watching, whether you go to Crossroads or another church, make yourself known, needed, and inspiring to the church as well. And when we meet each other halfway, or maybe we do 3/4 of the work and you just raise up the hand going, hey, I want to get connected, and then we got to do a good job at that. And sometimes we fail at that, honestly.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm sure there's times that we miss that, and we're human and our system breaks and there's something that goes on. But it's so very important that people feel that way. And then once people are here, how do we make them feel? You know, so I'm gonna dip my toe in a little conversation that I'm gonna have on Sunday.
Ooh, all right.
You ready for this? This is total. You don't know. You don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Your little preview.
I'm ready.
Yep. Yep. So here's the conversation, and I'm not vouching for a person or people. Mm. I'm just talking at a high level. It has really been disheartening to see the way that Christians have responded to Kanye West. Mm. It really has. Now, yeah. whether I don't know him, I don't know anything about him. I don't like his music. I'm not going to listen to it necessarily. I'm not. It's not my genre. Right? Yeah. If it's not 80s rock or Striper, I'm not listening to it. So I'm not saying anything about that. I don't know his lifestyle. I don't know what he's done or what he's doing in life. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know how genuine he is. But to see Christians attack somebody and judge them without knowing them is super disheartening. It really is. And then, of course, we had the John MacArthur, Beth Moore debacle that happened. Once again, kind of the same thing as all these people start feeding into it and judging people. Yeah. And I think it's the judgmental side that keeps people from coming to the table. So I don't know if Kanye West is saved or not. It's honestly not for me to decide. The Bible says that there is one judge, there's one Lord, and there's one spirit. And guess what? It's not us, and it's not people watching. Once again, you might have strong feelings about it, which is fine. You might have feelings about whether or not it's legit or not. That's fine. Whatever. It's okay. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says that God alone judges the heart of man, not us.
Yeah,
not us at all. God judges the heart. God knows. So why would we jump in a judgmental, like, does that make somebody like that feel neat? Now it makes them feel known. But is it inspiring? Is it moving? And then the world's watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if the world's watching Christians not accept people to the table, not let people feel needed, known, and moved or inspired, and they see us do that, why would somebody who's not a Christian want that or want to be part of that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I know I'm dipping my toe in it, but if I'm preaching on Join Me at the Table on Sunday, which I am, and Jesus' table has chairs for everybody who wants to come, but we might not want somebody at our table. Mm-hmm. That's not for us to decide. Like we can't decide that.
It is a sad thing that I think we've become known for, kind of our friendly fire. We aim at the people that are on our own side. And I mean, Kanye even says it in one of his songs about, you know, what have you heard from the Christians? They'll be the first ones to judge me, make it feel like nobody loves me.
Yeah. Wow. And it's true.
So it's like, we're kind of known for that. Yeah.
And once again, I'm not vouching for him or his lifestyle or anything at all.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Ben Crum just literally wrote the same thing as you just said.
What is it? Read it. Read it.
Christians be the first one to judge me makes me feel like nobody loves me.
Yeah, I think it's in his track Hands On, I think. Yeah. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. But you hear that and you're like, that's disheartening.
Very disheartening.
And it's true. And unfortunately, it's now, of course, we're lumping Christians in a big, and we know, and we're kind of doing the same thing, right?
We're being very general.
You know, I hope the people at Crossroads are not like that, and I don't think we are. And I'm not seeing anybody, honestly, from my social Crossroads group that has done anything but be very positive. But so I'm speaking very general. Yeah. You know, you're seeing articles and I'm seeing other people on social media just bash. In fact, I've seen people, quite honestly, and these are nobody from Crossroads, so I can say this. I've seen people that I'm connected with on social media that literally have said, Kanye is not saved. If you think he is, unfriend me right now.
Man.
And I've seen a bunch of people say that, like a bunch of people. Mm. And I'm going, have you ever met him? Have you talked to him? Oh, did you create the universe? I'm sorry. Did you send your son to die on a cross for us? Oh, I forgot that the great I am means the great you, right?
Ooh.
And it's not. And it's very, we can't be that way. Now, what I love about our church is not geared that way. We're not wired that way at all. In fact, I want to say that we go the other extreme of we want people to feel known, needed, and moved. But I don't know. That's just kind of one of those recent things of, so we got our local millennial over here. Tyler Harrison.
Our local millennial.
It's true. I speak for a generation.
Tyler speaks for all. He speaks for all of you that are millennials. So, you know.
Yeah.
Your ears a little bit more tuned differently than mine at 45 and Jamie's at 30-something. So what are you hearing when it comes to these cultural issues of Christians being judgmental, even though we say all are welcome? except Kanye. All are welcome except Justin Bieber. Yeah. All are welcome except Beth Moore. All are welcome except for on and on it goes, right?
I think the frustrating thing that that I see, and I don't speak for all millennials anywhere.
Yes, you do.
I'll give you
He does, and I'll give you his personal phone number and my address, millennials, if you want to go visit him.
Yeah, no, I think my thought is sometimes as Christians, especially people who have grown up in the church and, you know, we've had our this faith for the majority of our life, when we see somebody like Kanye, or there's been a lot of stuff out there too about Justin Bieber, how he's a believer now, and
he's a believer.
A believer, yeah.
Come on, that's dad humor.
Uh-huh. But you might hear somebody like Kanye or Justin saying that they now, you know, have trusted Jesus, and but I think sometimes our tendency is to, all right, well then I want their life to look exactly like mine, how they,
and immediately
everything they believe needs to now switch over to everything that I believe, and if I don't see that complete turnaround and now they look exactly like me in the faith that I've been raised in, then I'm gonna completely decry it and deny it and kind of forget, you know, that we've been on this faith journey for a long time. So I think that has been one of the frustrating things that I've kind of seen people, is a lack of grace to say, hey, wow, you're just starting now, maybe in this, and so you don't have to look like just like I look, or I don't know.
Yeah, it's very true, and once again, we're generalizing. We're generalizing, but it's also out there. And if you're on social media at all, which those of you watching or listening to this, you are on social media, and I know you've seen this. You've seen the judgment side of, and it's Christians that are judging. I honestly, in my social media sphere, and I have a bunch of people that I follow and follow me that aren't Christians. I've not seen any of them judge and bash. And it's sad, right? It's sad. I've not seen any of the worldly people going, I can't believe it. We lost another one to Christianity. And I'm sure it's probably out there, but I've not seen that. I've seen a bunch of pastors. I've seen a bunch of churches, a bunch of so-called Christians that immediately just judged. Immediately said, like literally, he's not saved.
Yeah.
You know, I even see people say that he's the one that's going to be ushering in the Antichrist.
Oh, wow.
I've seen that art. I'm like, what is wrong with us? Is the name of Jesus being mentioned right now?
Exactly. Like,
you know, are people being like, it's people are watching. And so I guess went off on a side rail. But when I think of, if we're going to say that we want people to feel known, needed, and moved, inspired, then that means all people, doesn't it? Doesn't it mean all people? Yeah. Or does it mean people that look like us?
Yeah.
I think that's what most people think. I really do. I think you hit it on the head, Tyler. I think when we say all are welcome as long as you look like me. Are welcome as long as you're Republican or Democrat. All are welcome as long as you have my same bank account. All are welcome if you have my same pedigree.
Yeah.
Well, and Stacey makes a good point. Like, we shouldn't forget that none of us actually deserve a seat at the table.
Stacey. Ooh.
That's good.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah, who deserves?
Sounds like she needs to get up there with you on Sunday.
You want to sit at my table? That's very true.
Yeah,
that's just such a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We forget. We didn't even say that right now.
No,
we forget that none of us deserve a seat at the table.
That's really good.
None of us. And so then, who are we to say all are welcome except for you?
Right.
Man, shame on us.
Yeah, man. That'll hit you hard.
So listen, if you're looking for a church in Raleigh that is not like that, you come to Crossroads. I promise you we're not like that. So we want people to feel known, needed, and moved. And so as you're watching this, if you are watching this, and if you're a Christian of any sort, whether you go to Crossroads or if you're in Arkansas, right? I bet you.
We have an answer.
Oh,
we do. What's in Arkansas?
Okay.
Diamond mines.
Diamond mines.
Diamond mine. And you know what?
Are there gorillas protecting them?
You know who's here? I don't know.
Yeah, do you ever see that movie?
What?
Gorillas.
They protect diamond mines?
It's a movie. They were looking for King Solomon's diamonds. And they were in it was the movie Congo. And they got to the Congo and these big silverback gorillas were protecting the diamonds.
Wow.
What? Okay. I think it was in the 80s.
Yeah, that sounds like. You know who's here? It's Shiraz.
Shiraz.
You just had lunch here.
Shiraz and I had a great lunch yesterday. What's up, Shiraz? Thanks for joining us.
And listen,
it was great to get to know him too.
Absolutely. He lived in Arkansas for 3 to 4 years and loved it. So,
well, there you go, Shiraz.
Arkansas.
But what's there besides diamonds?
Well, he says diamond mines.
Apparently, that's all you need.
Hey, well, it's a very wealthy state.
But he loved He said it's a hidden secret there.
Right? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Maybe we should take. So, maybe we should go on the road with this podcast and go to Collins, to
Arkansas.
Colin, can we come to your church and do a live?
We'll head to Prairie Grove.
Is that what it is? Yeah, Prairie Grove.
Prairie Grove. Yeah.
Colin, we're inviting ourselves to Prairie Grove. We're gonna take a road trip and we'll do a podcast from Arkansas, and we'll hit. And you can tell us all about the wonderful things of Arkansas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like it. I just don't know anything about it.
Me
never,
neither.
Now yeah. Never been there. What? Now we know one thing, that they have diamonds.
Little hidden
I like that. I like that. Thank you for that. All right. So as we wrap this up, because we only got about a minute or so, I want to wrap this up.
Okay.
So today was a little bit more me just kind of gushing out what I've been working on.
Well, I'm excited to hear kind of where we're going to go with this series. Yeah.
And that's where we're heading with the series. Is making sure that people are welcome to the table, no matter what you believe, no matter what your background is, no matter what you look like, you are welcome to come sit at the table. Now, here's the thing, though. When you come sit at the Jesus table, there's also change that happens.
Yeah.
Because he wants people to come and sit at his table who have been changed and become new, right? So we don't need to look like each other, but we need to look like him.
Yeah.
Right? So here's the unique thing. I just thought of this. This is kind of cool. That we all look different sitting at the table. But when Jesus looks at us, he better see himself in us. So at the table of Christ, we should look like him.
Yeah.
Like that's the one thing we should all look like. And if we all look like him, then guess what? We're going to make people and help people feel known, needed, and moved. So if you're watching here, whether you go to church or not, whether you go to Crossroads or not, what would our life look like if we truly valued people enough to help anybody, like just feel needed, just feel known, feel known. That you are known, that I see you, I know you, that you're needed, that you have a special gift, you have a unique talent, you got a purpose in this planet, right? You're needed. And is there something I can do to inspire them, to help them get moved? And if we think that way, I just think that our culture is going to be better. It's going to be better off.
It's a game changer.
It's a game changer. Mm-hmm. All right, let's cue the music.
Cue the music.
Everybody, thanks for joining us right here on our Facebook Live show. Appreciate it, and we will see you all next week. Have a good week, everybody, and see you this Sunday for Join Me at the Table.
Bye.